Hello, and welcome to another episode of This is the Greatest Song I've Ever Heard in My Entire Life, a podcast about the music we love and why we love it. I'm Scott Interante, and joining me, as always, Catherine Moore. Catherine, how's it going?
It's going good. It is a rainy day here in lovely Madison, Wisconsin, but we are pushing through. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. We had rain over the weekend, so I feel your pain.
Yeah, spring showers.
Hopefully, you know, yeah, the spring thing is crazy. But yeah, what's been going on? Have you been listening to anything? Any new albums? What should we talk about?
Yeah, I have been still really loving the Pop Girlies albums, Kacey Musgraves, Ari, and then the two that I think actually you reminded me came out last Friday were Waxahachie and Adrian Lenker.
Yeah.
And both, I listened to those this weekend, both of them, and they're so good.
Yeah, I've been getting through those. And you know what I've been listening to lately is totally a separate vibe, is Wolves of Glendale. Do you know about these guys?
No.
These are like, I think they like started on TikTok in lockdown.
Oh.
These three, it's all kind of like joke songs, or not joke songs, but funny songs.
Yeah, you suggested this, like, these ones for one of the Song of the Week, I think. And I was like, what is this?
Oh, yeah. But it's all this like cool three-part harmony and like funny songs that, yeah, I don't know. I've just been really digging this album. So
something I just saw on Instagram that I was going to text you, but I could just tell you now, is so Chapel Roan's been posting a lot about her adventures touring, but she just posted kind of a dump or whatever of her recent exploits. And she actually went to go see Mitski in one of the towns that she was in.
Oh.
Taste on taste, Chapel Roan going to see Mitski. Yeah. So yeah, that was
that
kind
is
of fun.
Cool. Yeah, I had not seen that yet.
Yeah.
And also another sort of tangent here. We got to do something about dump. We can't keep saying this. I'm not blaming you. This is a culture-wide phenomenon that I think we need to... What is Biden doing about this? Can we stop having people say dump?
I don't know if it's called a dump anymore. But it's made its way to the millennials, and you know, we're just going to tear it apart. So yeah, that's fair. Maybe just a collection of memories. Is that better?
Yeah, something. I don't know. Like, yeah, I don't have a solution. I'm not offering an alternative. So I guess I've got nothing to say here. But
speaking of Instagram, our lovely Instagram followers, Ooh. Do you like that transition? Had some songs to suggest. As usual, we had some great suggestions the past couple weeks. First of all, Marissa suggested Obsessed by Olivia Rodrigo, which is part of the Guts Spilled deluxe album she just put out last week. And I didn't even mention that. There's five new songs that she put out on Friday. And Obsessed is very good. My cousin Annabelle is getting into Eminem's band, apparently D12, and said My Band by D12. And so,
honestly, yeah,
the kids are all right. She's like, you know, high schooler listening to D12. So I'm loving that. Jerome, lovely Jerome. Different Strings by Rush. Great Rush song to suggest, honestly. Yeah. And then our guest today actually responded and also really liked the Remy Wolf song we posted, Cinderella. So we're all just on a mind meld this week, I think, with Jose.
Yeah, that Remy song is really cool. I'm excited for that whole album.
Yeah. Oh, and last but not least, our bud Angela posted I Believe in a Thing Called Love, which... what a song.
Yeah. You know, I saw Hanson cover that once when I saw them live. It was. Like, I don't know why they did it, but it was cool.
I would kill to see a Hanson cover of I Believe in a Thing Called Love. I bet it's on YouTube.
Yeah, probably. Maybe it's something they did a lot. I don't know. It was Zach came out from behind the drums to sing that one.
That's amazing. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about our guest that we have coming up, Jose. And can you just give us a rundown about how you and Jose met? Because I think it's a pretty cool story.
Yeah, I mean, so Jose Valle, he's a graphic designer. He is a concert goer, like a professional stan.
A professional stan is how I think of him, like knowing him through you.
Yeah, so the story of how we met is, I'm sure, how he's met so many people, which is at a concert. Our friend Nicole and I went to go see Phoebe Ryan, past guest on our show, back in 2020, like February. We were really cutting it down to the wire. And we saw her in Maryland. She was opening up for Eric Nam. So after her set, we're sort of like hanging around the back because we know she's going to like come out and to the merch table and hang out or whatever. And so we're sort of floating by the back. And then this guy is also sort of floating by the back. And eventually he looks at us and he's like, are you guys also waiting for Phoebe? and we were. And so we became friends. And then, you know, we've stayed friends through that. We've gone to a bunch of shows together in New York, in Nashville, in Maryland, all over the place, all things Go Festival. So it's, yeah, he's like a really interesting person who is so passionate about seeing live music and traveling around and supporting these artists. And he's just like a very creative and cool person. So this is like fun because we get a different perspective for our podcast, right? Like obviously everyone is a fan of music,
right?
But he is sort of like almost professionalized it, like we said, you know? So it's a really cool perspective.
And I think he has a place in the communities, the fandoms that he's a part of. He like contributes to that and is part of those fandoms and is known and by those artists and by the artists' other fans. And I just think that's a really cool way to be, because it's not just anyone that goes to shows that gets to be part of those fandoms necessarily. It's the people who are tried and true and usually have the best intentions and like all of that kind of stuff. We've been known to travel for a concert or two in our our lives as well. And so it's felt a little bit of a kinship with him as well. So yeah, so we can get right into it.
All right, Jose. Well, thank you so much for joining us. As we always like to do in these conversations, can we go back to the beginning? You know, is there a particular song or album that you can remember as you were growing up that first made you like fall in love with music?
Yeah. So I actually like really didn't start listening to music probably until middle school, which is crazy because I feel like everyone has the story of like, oh, when I was a kid, like this was the first CD I bought. And like, I don't really think I had that. Like my parents had their own artists that they were obsessed with who like I always associate with them. But it wasn't until I think the earliest memory was maybe Britney Spears' Circus just kind of took over my life. And all I wanted to do was go to the circus tour. I never got to go to the circus tour and I was so upset about it. And that I think that was kind of where it all went downhill or uphill, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah. That album has such a aesthetic around it in a way that I feel like a lot of artists now like follow that mold of like, this is my era for this album,
right?
And it's got its look and it's got its costume. And maybe that was like less common then, but do you think that was something that really stood out to you?
No, 100%, because eventually like I started collecting CDs, and like especially that one, I loved flipping through the booklet that came with it, like just seeing the entire photo shoot that they like conceptualized for it and like the lyrics and stuff like that. Like 100%, the visuals were a huge part of it for me. And that I think was probably what drew me in the first place.
Yeah, that's cool. So does that lead kind of directly to you getting online and like joining these sort of fan communities through there? Like, what was that path?
Yeah. So that's a really good question, because no, I like, I never joined any sort of Britney community. Like if anything, I was in her like YouTube comments being like, yay, Britney. Yeah. Back then it was forums, right? Like that was the big thing. Mm-hmm. I never joined any music forums. I was on a Webkinz forum. That was like a huge thing for me. But thinking back to it, like I guess maybe MySpace was kind of where I first started to really dabble in like expressing the music I was listening to. Like that's how I discovered Lady Gaga. Like some girl that I went to high school with posted, it wasn't even Poker Face, it was like AA or something. And I was like, oh my god, who is this girl? I'm obsessed. And yeah, I think I started being a little more vocal on MySpace. I remember one time I chose Teardrops on My Guitar as like my profile song.
Hey.
And
wow.
Yeah. It was like my profile song. I wasn't an OG.
I just don't think of you as like a Swiftie now.
So. I'm not a Swiftie anymore. That's the like the controversy behind all this. Like I consider myself maybe an anti-Swiftie. Hot take, but
whoa.
Yeah. And so like, but it was literally my profile song. And I just remember like my best friend at the time was like, you can't do this. It's a girl song. And I was like, watch me.
Wow.
So what is the bridge then into
like a fandom? Like, what was the first kind of fandom you were a part of music-wise? I guess you'd mentioned Marina earlier. Is that, yeah, does that, I think, like, stick out?
It was probably Marina, yeah, because so yeah. I make lyric videos for fun. That's just like a huge part of who I am. And yeah. the first lyric video I ever made was Marina's I'm Not a Robot.
Oh,
and
wow.
it's still up on YouTube. And I literally made it in Windows Movie Maker. Like, but
does it have a lot of views? Were you like one of the only people to do that lyric video?
No, okay. I definitely was not. Okay. And I think it has maybe like 5,000 views, which isn't that many.
Not bad. I mean, it's not bad.
No, yeah. It's been out for over a decade. Like, but I like Marina was definitely what kind of kicked it off for me, because I was absolutely like, I got it when it was the free single, when like Apple did that forever ago.
Yeah.
And then I just kind of was like, wait, this is so good. Like, let me research. And that was kind of established a routine that once I listen to a song or like something a certain number of times, I like go down this rabbit hole where I'm like, okay, what other songs do they have? Or like, mm-hmm. is there a music video to this? And then it's like the series of steps where eventually like cements me as a fan. And the mm-hmm. moment I follow them on Instagram, it's over. Like, I'm there. I'm ride or die. Yeah.
So when do you start going to a lot of shows? Because like obviously now, especially in the last like year or two, I know you should just like constantly be traveling around seeing shows. When does that start?
It wasn't until I left for college, actually. I didn't drive when I was home, like on the Outer Banks of North Carolina, and like everything, because it was like such an isolated place, like getting anywhere was absolutely impossible. But yeah, I got to college. I missed Marina's Electro Heart tour.
It was great.
Like the Lonely Hearts Club tour or whatever it was called. Yeah. And that just like broke me. So I was like, I don't care. I'm seeing her. I'm doing it. And yeah, my first show, well, what I consider my first show was one of the Fruit Sunday shows that she did, which was like before the Neon Nature tour. I saw her in Cleveland and now I love Cleveland.
Wow.
And everyone always talks bad about Cleveland, but I'm like, no, I love Cleveland. Like I was literally running down the streets being like, whoa, Marina, I love Cleveland. And everyone was giving me weird looks and I was like, no, this was the best night of my life. Like,
yeah, wow.
And yeah.
Yeah, how do you decide which shows you travel for and which artists you're fans of? Like, I know you just came back from seeing Chapel Roan last weekend, and obviously we're huge fans of Chapel, friend of the pod.
Yeah.
But also, like, you guys met at a Phoebe Ryan show. Yeah. Like, I know you've seen Gatlin a bunch, which we're about to talk about. Yeah. Like, what do you kind of look for in people that you're, like, willing to go the extra mile literally for and go see them in random cities, as it may be?
Yeah. At this point, there's no prerequisite. Like, I'm on a mission now to see Chapel in almost, like, in every state that I possibly can. It started off as a joke. Now it's very much a commitment that I have made for myself. Like, I have a map going and everything. But in terms of just, like, traveling for shows, it started off just because I grew up in North Carolina, and then I moved to Florida. And now I think it's a little different because artists actually make stops in North Carolina, but those are states that like people didn't go to. So I started traveling and now it's just kind of built into it. I'm like, yeah, whatever. I'll spend 12 hours on a bus to go see this. Like, especially once I have a song or something that like I specifically connect to, I'm like, I have to see this live and I'll do whatever it takes to do so.
There is one unifying thing, I think, in the kinds of artists that you become a stan of. You, I believe, don't listen to any men. Is that right?
Yeah. No, that's true. It started off, again, as a joke, where I was like, haha, men, I don't really listen to them. But now it's very much a commitment. Like, I love when people recommend me songs. Like, I take that super seriously. The moment someone's like, yeah, this man, I'm like, thanks, but no. Find someone else to get to listen to it. It's not going to be me.
Well, you know, we all have to just, like, set our boundaries. And
exactly.
Yeah, so is there anything specific, like a specific album from an artist that you're particularly looking forward to this year?
That is such a good question. I feel like every person and their sister is releasing an album this year.
Beyonce.
Yeah, like seriously, the docket, and like we're running out of months. Like we're already almost into April. Like, when is this going to happen? Because if they all drop them at the same time, I don't know what I'm going to do. But Remy just officially announced hers.
Yeah, Remy Wolf. Yeah.
I'm so excited to see where she goes with this. Just because I feel like her last album was just like all over the place in the best way possible. Like she could literally go in any direction. Mod Latour is dropping an album this year. Cannot wait for that one. I'm curious to see what Gaga is going to do.
Yeah.
Another hot take. I wasn't the biggest fan of Chromatica.
Right.
So.
No, I don't think that's like the hottest of takes. I loved it. I was like, that got me through the first part of the pandemic.
Okay.
So I get it.
Fair. No, like it has grown on me a lot. I don't hate it like I used to. I can kind of appreciate it.
I honestly think that might be like somewhat of a shared opinion of my other Gaga fans, but I loved it. So yeah, no, that's fine.
I like the Oreos.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I do think that's a good opportunity to switch over to the conversation that we need to have, which is Jose, what is the song that makes you scream, "This is the greatest song I've ever heard in my entire life"?
Yeah. So this switches, I mean, honestly, so often. But I think as of late, it's probably Gatlin's last two songs on her last EP, which are How Do You Sleep at Night and Be Your Home. They both transition into each other, so I'm going to count them as one song.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't know. It's something about them. They are just so raw and they just hit so hard. I can't listen to them too much because I do actually like cry every time. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is exciting, you know, just because the songs are great and I want to talk about that. But it's also exciting because this marks the first time that a guest has picked a song from a previous guest on our show. So we're getting like a whole...
This is a milestone.
Yeah. Full circle moment.
This is awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, talk more about these two songs. So the first, How Do You Sleep at Night, is it's like a very lo-fi acoustic, mostly just her vocals, which are incredible. This kind of haunting thing. And then it goes into Be Your Home, which is a little bit more fleshed out of a song. And I have my own sort of interpretation of what it's about or what they're saying, but I'm curious to hear from you.
Yeah. So I heard her give a spiel about these two songs six times when I followed her on her first headline tour. She talks about it being a song where she first felt like she could feel her emotions all the way through. And as someone who is a very emotional person, I just really appreciate that. And yeah, like you said, it's very lo-fi. It's kind of haunting in a way. Mm. For some reason, it makes me think of like sitting in an alley in Italy. I've never been to Italy, but that's exactly where I think this is being sung. Like under a bridge with like an accordion way in the distance. Like, I don't know. I get this whole visual from it. And the vocal performance is just top tier. And all six times that I saw it, breathless afterwards, I was just like, oh my God, how does she do this? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's just a bunch of different elements that kind of really push it over the edge for me.
Yeah. And then what about Be Your Home?
So she said that it was a song dedicated to her sister.
Yeah. That's how I took it.
Exactly. And the reason like it's so personal to me is because I wish that someone in my family would like write a song like that for me. Just because, I mean, to get into it, I guess my family isn't the most approving of my sexuality, which is fine. Whatever, they can believe what they want to believe. They're still great, like I love them dearly and they're great, but that's just something we're never going to see eye to eye on. And so this song for me kind of just gives me perspective that, who knows, maybe one day they'll come around.
Yeah.
She's very much like talking to her sister, asking for forgiveness about what happened in their past. And, you know, I have hope that one day the same will happen for me.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
You mentioned before going to shows where you want to see this one song live so bad. There's just those moments that we have with those songs that mean so much to us, where once you're able to see the raw emotion of the songwriter and singer who's performing it, there's just like no comparison to listening to it.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, no, absolutely. There's nothing like hearing a song live for the first time. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, like you said, I think even just listening to it and not knowing anything about her or her situation or her family or whatever, you kind of get the sense that that's what it is. It's like talking to a younger sibling. But that chorus that ends on with this powerful vocal of like, I can be your home, is very powerful to particularly like a queer community who often feel like they don't have that support or whatever. And to be in that, in an audience like that with a lot of people who probably feel similarly, is very powerful. It reminded me a lot of like, I saw Muna on their tour for their first album, and like, I Know a Place is like a very similar sentiment, you know. Yeah. That one's like maybe more specifically, like explicitly about that, but it has that same sort of, you know, the way she's right. saying like, I can be your home over and over again is very like comforting yeah. and nice and powerful.
Absolutely. Yeah. I just got chills just hearing you say it. Oh, like man. That. Yeah. I am a graphic designer, and when I go to shows, I like to have a gift prepared for the artist. Mm-hmm. Usually, like, I'll choose a song that I'm either, like, super excited to see or whatever, and I'll make, like, a poster or cards or literally all sorts of random stuff. And then I like to keep a copy for myself that if I'm able to get them to, I ask them to sign.
Yeah.
So I went to 12 of Chapel's shows on the first leg of her Midwest Princess tour. And then I did 6 of Gatlin's at the same time, which was chaos. I don't know if I could ever do that again, but we survived, and that's all that matters. But basically the concept behind that was just, I wanted something to give to them, but I could not make 12 posters. And so I just made 2 giant ones and cut them into pieces. I got fans at the shows to write on them. For Chapel's, it was Chapel's name over and over again, which kind of gave it this like graffiti style. And it was Chapel's because Chapel's shows have so many people at them that it just felt easier and like more understandable for it to be all of them writing the same thing in their own handwriting. And then for Gatlin's, which were a little bit more intimate, I actually had people write their own names. So it was a little bit more legible, and it felt a little bit more personal too.
Yeah, it's really cool. And I was at one of those Gatlin shows with you. So
yeah.
Oh yeah.
I signed it.
Do you have a poster you made or and gave that like stands out to you, or just like a moment that you were able to, obviously I'm sure everyone as it's like
person, no, for sure.
It's yeah, thing, yeah. But like, is there a moment like even recently where you're like, this is why I do what I do kind of thing?
No, 100%. So it was one that I made for an artist called LPX. She used to be a member of Miss Mister, but also she was the co-founder of Neon Gold, which is like Marina's first record label, you know, that gave us all the greats. It was maybe in the middle of the pandemic. Should I have been traveling? Absolutely not. But, you know,
you live and learn.
At this point, I was vaccinated. I was like, I need to get out of my house. She was doing this like 3-song set at some crypto thing. I don't know. Like, ooh. I could not tell you. It was an NFT, like, gallery showing, like, in New York. Like, her performance was going to be turned into an NFT. I have no idea, like, what that was about. But she, like, posted about it literally a week before. And I was like, should I come? I have, like, a flight credit. Like, she was like, I'm literally doing 3 songs. That's so sweet, but don't do it. And I was like, okay. But then I did it anyway. And so after the show, like, I gave her the poster. And she, like, pulled me aside. And she was like, I just want you to know, like, I think you're so talented. And, like, one day, like, I want to collab with you. And hearing that from her, who, like, I have come to respect so much, like, absolutely killing it at everything she does. I don't know how she does it. It was just having that validation and that recognition. Like, I don't know if anything will ever really compare to that.
Yeah.
Just because, yeah, I've been doing this for years. And, like, my goal is to actually be, like, some sort of designer in the music industry in whatever capacity at this point. So I, like, anytime I feel like it's not worth it, or I'm like, I'm going to give up, like, that, I think back literally to that exact moment. And I'm like, no, I'm going to keep going.
We were all, like, looking for that level of connection and intentionality after we had been all in like lockdown and just kind of more isolated over that time. So I can imagine that for her too, it was like, wow, like this is a really cool experience to be like, not only does somebody love me enough to come for three songs, but like, you know, create this piece of art too. So that's awesome. Yeah. Those moments where you look back and you're like, this was a big moment. This was something that I can keep me motivated. So that's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Jose, thank you so much for coming and talking to us about your escapades and these great Gatlin songs. If people want to, you know, follow what you're doing and keep up with you, where should they go?
Yeah, I'm Foxy Gaspy, FoxyGaspie, on all socials at this point. Come see my lyric videos or my concert videos or my crazy travel endeavors following concerts.
Or just find you at a show. You'll be there probably.
Yeah, no, so. I'll be there. Just let me know.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks so much and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you. Hold it against me that I had to go.
Should have picked up the phone. Should have watched you. All right. Well, Catherine, there you go. Some more Gatlin on the pod. Yeah. How do you feel?
Yeah. I love his pick. Love his discussion about the songs and how seeing it live really like contributed to his experience with this song. And how do you feel as a certified Gatlin stan?
Well, I mean, you know, in no way can I compare it to Jose's stand-up. But yeah, I mean, it's cool. I love these songs. Also interesting is that we haven't heard them yet as we're recording this, but as you're listening to this, the day this comes out, Gatlin just released two songs, Too Much Woman and The Reason. And I think The Reason might be a cover of the Hoobastank song.
Oh,
honestly, I don't know,
sick.
But you might
we'll
know
find out.
When
yeah.
you're listening to this.
That's awesome.
So that's some synergy there.
Love it. Okay, so in honor of our guest and our topic today, we should both say what our favorite live show has been that we've been to, but like with friends that you've traveled to, for example. So I would like to say that mine was the Carly Rae Jepsen show in Los Angeles, August 2019, that we went to with you, yeah. Nicole, Angela. That was definitely my favorite. We gave her a sword that night
yes.
for Cut the Feeling. So that sticks out in my mind. And it was just a really fun weekend. So what is your favorite show that you've traveled to?
Well, that would have been my answer too. And I do have to mention that if you remember who was opening up for that show.
Yeah, Phoebe Ryan. Phoebe Ryan. That's the first time we heard Phoebe Ryan, right? Or like that we heard her live. So it all just connects. Everything, it's a small world.
It all connects. So. Yeah. But yeah, I'll stick with Jose together with my girlfriend, Chloe. We went to Nashville and saw Chapel Roan Jose last year?
Yeah.
Yeah, it must have been 2023.
Yep.
And that was really cool. But it was also special and weird because if you don't know, Chapel always has local drag queens as the opening act. And the day that we got there to Nashville to see this show was the day that like the Tennessee legislature had passed like the drag ban.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, they still went on with the show, but it sort of added even more meaning to it.
Yeah.
When, you know, it's kind of meaningful whenever she does that, but to have those incredible artists out there on that specific day was really cool and powerful.
That's really cool. Yeah, what a show. I didn't make the connection that happened on the same day. So that's amazing. Hope they got a lot of great tips from the audience.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, if you have fun memories of seeing shows either by yourself or with friends, whether you traveled or just went, you know, locally, let us know on social media or send us an email at greatsongpod, gr8songpod@gmail.com.
Check us out on YouTube. Like, comment, subscribe, leave a rating and reviewing if you would be so kind on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. It helps people find the show.
You know, Look, we know how many people listen to the show, and I know how many of those people have left a review on Apple Podcasts. It's the numbers don't add up, people. So, you know, if you're here, just do it.
Sling us a 5-star just for fun, just for kicks. Yeah. We appreciate it. We love you.
But thank you so much, Catherine, for always helping me do these episodes. I want to give a special shout out to Roger for our podcast art, to Izzy, who I think by the time this episode comes out, is now a father. Congrats to Izzy and Edie. Huge deal on that. Big thanks to him for always helping out with some of the mixing stuff. Big shout out to Skylar Spence, whose song Kratos in Love is our theme music. And most of all, thanks to you for listening. Look forward to talking to you next time.
Bye.